Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women solving.
Drunk Women Solving Crime live at the Museum of Comedy! Hooray! My name is Katie Wilkins, aka Detective Sasshole. Yeah. That nickname is gonna stick. I am rocking it. I am joined, of course, by Taylor Glenn.
Hi.
Normally Detective Asshole. But for Halloween, she's dressed up as a nun and taken Valium to take a plane. So she is now Sister Valium.
Sister Valium.
She's a nun now.
I
think it's legit. We don't know.
I haven't even introduced you, Hannah. Way to interrupt, though.
That's
Took
fine.
The liberty of bringing an espresso martini on.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
In a can for the listeners.
Really?
Lest you picture a craft cocktail.
So just to finish the... Oh, no. So for the listeners, I have a mazel tov. I haven't been a barmaid for a long time.
Oh, humble brag.
All right.
Things are going very well in my career, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I'm stuck on the introductions. You know it's Hannah George, Detective Butt Stuff. It's Halloween part two. I have come dressed as a sleep-deprived woman in my 40s, but, you know, like the slutty version of that.
Is there any other kind?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've written a Halloween joke for you guys.
Ooh! I've already oversold it.
I love putting on scary makeup and loading up on sweets and booze, but Halloween is fun too. thank you. I didn't sell it, and that's on me. You're allowed to groan, it's fine. Too sassy to care. I am match fit for Halloween. My kids eat junk food all the time. Anyway, enough of this excellent banter. This is a podcast where a zombie cocktail meets the Milwaukee cannibal.
Ooh.
Thank you. Appreciate
Niche.
It. I'm slightly worried this is diminished by the fact that I have to explain it's a cocktail. Anyway, whatever. This is where the El Diablo cocktail meets the Thousand Devil of Halberstadt. Thank you. Because it's got layers because it's a devil. And this
is where a pumpkin pie martini meets the Halloween massacre.
Yay!
We can all get on board with that.
It's a true crime podcast with a twist.
Alive!
It is now time to introduce our guest. This episode, we are joined by fantastic comedian, writer, and actress. It is Jocelyn G. Essien, a.k.a. Little Miss Jocelyn!
Yay!
Welcome, Jocelyn! Woo! Welcome!
Hello!
Hello! Thank you for joining us. Oh, how are you? Hello. Can we help you with your drink?
No.
Oh.
Hi, guys.
Jocelyn, we have one question on this podcast. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I was. With my ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
I was a victim of crime.
Okay.
Because he stole my heart and trampled on it!
No.
Because I'm fine. It's all right. I'm fine.
You what? Seem
I'm
fine.
I'm over it.
We'll get him.
No, actually, there are a few, a few stories, but one of them... I was with my brother and we were walking around. We were on our way to see mum and dad and this car pulled up and asked us if we wanted to buy a mobile phone. Now we thought, bit dodgy. We're like, no. Because I've already got a mobile phone. So I don't know. Every time they insisted, they like added something else to it. There was like a laptop involved.
Oh, God.
So obviously, it's stolen. But...
stuff from the car?
Yeah, no, they had it with them.
Okay.
What can you trust?
I know. And they said 300 and we knocked them down to 150. And then,
awesome.
But I had no money on me, so they drove us to the cash point.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's only because I was with my brother... that I thought it's safe.
Wow. So
we went to the cash point, took out the 150, and then we had this exchange where I asked them to show me what was in the bag. They showed me everything, laptop, the phone, there was something else. I don't know what, but anyway, three items. And I thought, oh, that's great. And then they said to me, well, show us the money, make sure you've got the right money. And we did this like about three or four times because none of us trusted each other. And then they handed it over. And just as they handed it over and they drove off, the first thing my brother said to me was, oh no, sis, opened it up, just bottles of water.
Oh no! My God!
Yeah.
They switched it.
Yeah, they switched it. I don't know how. Till this day, I'm working out like...
Wow!
That's some Darren Brown.
Yeah!
I don't know how they did it, but we still went to the police station. I know the audacity. I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to the police station and I tried to like cover it a bit and say it wasn't like I was trying to buy something stolen. I just said I tried to buy something. I said, from where? I said, this, the mobile shop.
Yeah, an entrepreneur was
selling.
They knew,
yeah. But they said they'd had those stories all week. They get this all the time.
Wow.
And they just told me off really for trying.
Oh, no.
And then at the end, the police officer said, I've actually got a mobile if you're interested in buying it. He thought he was funny and I didn't.
Oh,
I did not laugh. Yeah.
No, the police
and
are
an interview
in
you and your brother to get out the money.
So that was a lesson that cost me $150.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I still can't work out how they did it.
Yeah.
Also the fact that, I mean, I think in a few years' time that is how we will be buying bottles of water.
Isn't it like
under the Tory
pretty
government?
Much Mad Max Fury Road. Like that's the beginning of it, really.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Just trusting my brother, really. I only did it because I was with my
Never
brother.
Never trust
But he was rubbish.
But that's a proper scam. That's amazing.
Yeah. But they were doing it constantly. Just the police had just heard, another one.
Yeah.
I thought, no. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I love the idea that for the police, because presumably repeat crimes are the ones that are easier to catch.
Yes.
Like, oh, we have another instance.
You know where they're
like,
going to be.
Like, just keeps happening.
Just
keeps happening. If only there were some sort of organization.
Yes. Yes.
Designed to look into this shit, but
like, yeah, put someone on the road where you know the thing is repeatedly happening.
Yeah,
yeah,
we can give you a description, a car.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Well,
I think it goes all the way to the top. The fact the police tried to sell you a phone at the end of that.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
But I'm sure it was a rubbish phone anyway. I didn't tell him that, obviously.
We always ask on this podcast, if you had the perp now, what would you say to them?
how did you do
it? Honestly.
Like, seriously, like, you know, mm-hmm. you can go to Las Vegas with this shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
Because I was watching them, I was like, and I thought, so they've obviously got two bags, and they know the people, they knew that as human beings, we're not going to trust them, and we're going to ask to see the other one.
Yeah.
So they understood that, and oh my God, and I was watching them.
It went back and forth a few times.
A few times, and they did the distraction thing of, well, we don't trust you. Where's the money? And that was when they got me.
God. It's an like the actual work that's gone into it. I mean, bravo! Like
the work,
like the scammers.
Yeah. All you can do is reward it.
It's they're working for that money they're stealing.
Yeah, fair play to them. You know.
No, but yeah. So yeah. So teach us how you did it. Is the
Not that we would do it.
No.
But it would be nice to know.
It's nice to find out, yeah.
I want to record them doing it and watch it in slow motion. Yeah. And,
and they just did the same area, though. They didn't branch out. It was like the same road. When we went to the police, they said, oh, yeah, yeah. And they knew exactly where this happened before we even told them.
Wow.
Oh, more
the police, there's no way we can find them.
It's impossible.
The street is 20 meters long. There's no way we can find them.
If only,
though, isn't it? Like, they just go past... And they're like, excuse me. And you're like, you've already done me. Just carry on. Until they get everyone. Like Pokemon. You got to catch them all. You got to get everybody.
That's got to happen though, right? They're going to end up doing that. Someone must have caught them and beaten them up by now.
That's what Katie would do. Yeah. She is sassy now.
Like, but like they'll do it. They'll go, hey, do you want to buy a phone? They go like, yeah, here's your fucking water, mate. And like, it's going to be a showdown.
When was this?
This is like around 2003.
Interesting, because it's like mobiles were different, like laptops were different, and just in terms of like...
The weight of them.
That's why they needed like 2 litre bottles of Volvic for one phone.
Try and do that today. Oh.
I know, that's so true.
Yeah, you just give them an empty bag, 3 laptops in there, mate.
It's a MacBook Air. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
Thanks.
You know when you hear one, you're like, yes, actually. Yes.
You slapped my belly fat. You're like, good joke. I'm like, thank you.
Man. Well, no, that was an amazing, horrible, but very good crime story.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I've had my counselling. It's fine.
Good.
Wait,
good.
Do you mean tonight? Because I feel...
This is it. This is okay.
It's like... This is it. It's sometimes cathartic. That might be the alcohol. But we will move on to the true crime section of the podcast. Now, this is a case that involves deception, duplicity, and lies... Yes, you're right.
Somebody's got a thesaurus.
So listen, this case may make you question how well you know those closest to you.
Ooh.
Yes. Or it may just make you think everyone in this case is a bellend. We'll see. We'll see. Anything could happen. Now, I'm going to start this case in 1963 at the point where some dude dies. Now, the person that dies is...
I really hope this isn't the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, yeah, he did die in 63. It's not him.
Some dude.
Well, I don't know my American history. No, it's fine. Okay, it's not JFK. No.
That woman's in the audience like, okay, let's see what else you've got.
They're invested 64. Now. It's not JFK. Right. He dies in 1963, 69-year-old Alexander Wilson, and he dies of a heart attack. He is found by his wife of 20 years, Alison Wilson. And Alison calls people. She calls. They had phones in 1963. She calls a doctor, she calls a priest, and then she also calls someone who was referred to as a handler. So my question is, what is a handler and why would one need to be called on this particular death?
A handler?
To handle the situation.
Yes.
Good night. Do you know what? I would have made an exit then, but my legs are too short. I could not get down. I so wanted to just walk and drop the mic, but I couldn't get down.
Mate, this is a podcast. I can't believe Apparently she's moonwalked off. Oh, she's incredible. Backflip. Oh. I mean, wow. And she's back again. She's here. Yeah,
thank God she came back.
That was amazing.
Thanks, babe.
Wait, what's a handler? Is that what we're doing?
What is a handler? Why would one need to be called on this particular deck?
Is it different than a fluffer?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's first.
I love
question.
That. Give him one more shot. He might have it in him. Is a fluffer an erection guy, a porno?
Yeah.
Then in which case that joke worked, fuck you all. I think this guy is important. That's the handler. If okay. an important guy died. Do you remember the night that we thought Boris Johnson would die from COVID? Do you remember? I remember walking home. We were going on our like hourly walk, and it was like, Boris Johnson has gone into intensive care, and you're like, no, you weren't. It's a great gesture for a podcast. But it is that thing that if somebody of such high stature dies, there's got to be someone doing the stuff.
I reckon you're right. It's somebody who handles the situation. It's like a PR.
Is that your kinda, final answer?
Yep.
Thank you.
Is it Batman, did someone say? Oh, you know this is. Yes. Now, this is quite a famous case. We will get to that. But no spoilers. Well, actually, there's going to be some spoilers in a minute. Yes, I've heard it from the audience. And the correct answer is spy. He's a spy. Yes. Dun, dun, dun.
I did not see that come in.
Oh, cool.
That's why I'm not a spy.
There are so many reasons.
But to
so
be
what's,
fair...
What's the... Why?
I get asked okay. all the time.
Okay, so...
All right,
I'm
going to
give you guys more info. Mm-hmm. Alexander Wilson had worked for the Secret Intelligence Service, then MI6, in Section X, which conducted communication surveillance of embassies. And the proper channels had to be informed of his death. Now, I'm going to really quickly give you a little bit of background information.
We're just going to leave Section X hanging out there without...
Yeah. It's pretty sexy, right?
Section X.
I mean, it does sound like a porn.
Oh, I just love the idea it was all my ex-boyfriends just got rid of. It'd be amazing. Like, Section X, oh, if they died. It wasn't Hannah.
Okay.
It was.
So... Alison and Alec met in 1940 when she was a secretary and he was working as a translator for the Secret Service. He was 30 years older than Alison. Yes.
Oh.
Scandal. Yes.
Who goes with older men?
All right. Okay, look.
Hannah raised her hand.
Older men and then there's 30 years older. This is like,
but he's definitely rich.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He was rich.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, yeah. he was rich.
Yeah.
But, like, he's 50, she's 20, he's married to someone else.
Okay. Oh, no, that I don't like that. No. I don't. If she'd been 30 and he'd have been 70, is that maths? Maths is impossible.
Is that maths?
No. I don't know.
No. Do a backflip. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And so no cellulite. go on.
That was well done.
I don't know why I took my trousers off to do that. I just saw myself like in a gymnastics thing.
It was a sausage tattoo.
Thank you. I don't know why I got it, but I like it.
It was a treat for everyone. Now.
Sorry.
This very romantic couple, their eyes met across a crowded MI6.
she was sort of like just playing with some toys.
Yeah. Like basically, and it's like, it's true love. Now, she's no pushover. She's all, look, I'm hot for 50-year-old cock, but you're married. I'm paraphrasing. And he's all like, no, I really want to bone you. I'll get divorced. So he shows her a divorce certificate and he's like, look, I'm divorced. And then they get married.
Oh, oh dear.
What's your instinct?
Am I bigamy?
Yeah. I don't trust that.
He's rich.
Yeah. They get married in 1941. They have two sons together, Gordon and Nigel, born in 42 and 44.
Those are not the best names.
No, I know.
I'm just throwing it out
it's
there.
It's the 40s.
I know, but...
Okay, so now I'm going to flip us back forward in time in 1963. So the sons are more or less grown up. They're about to leave home. Alec has just died. Grieving widow Alison has to call one more person to let them know about this death and funeral arrangements. So my question is, who does she have to call that she hasn't called?
And it's not the handler, because she's already called the handler.
She's called the handler already.
Because he's a spy. Mm-hmm. And she knows he's a spy.
I've heard the correct answer from the audience. If you guys heard that, you can steal it.
Oh, I was not listening.
I wasn't either. But
what do you think?
She's going to call.
She's going to call one more person to tell them about this funeral.
She's going to call her mum and say, "He's rich. We're rich. We've made it, mum."
Oh. I inherit everything. No, it's not that. Sorry.
She's calling. Ooh.
It is the first wife.
Oh. First wife.
Impatient person in the audience, you're correct.
So the first wife is still alive.
Yes.
I bet she loves getting a call from the younger woman.
No. Ooh. You guys, wait till you hear this. Okay, so.
I can't.
Wait.
You can't wait.
We've got too excited. Go on. Sister.
No, that was it.
He'd married the first wife in 1916, blah, 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 three kids. When she talks to the first wife and says, hey, you know, he's dead. Thought you might want to know. She discovers a bombshell talking to the first wife. Question, what is the bombshell that she discovers?
It's the wife who looks like a sexy bombshell, like a blonde bombshell.
Okay, so hot wife.
She's the bombshell.
Yeah. And she explodes.
She's made out of real bombs.
Yeah.
Any advance?
Big impact on the phone. What was that? Oh, man. Was he a double agent?
Nice.
Thanks.
It is not correct. Married. Still married.
I mean, I'm assuming...
And he's her father.
Oh, okay.
You know what? That is sort of... It's not incest.
We're not on the Isle of Wight.
But it is EastEnders level drama.
Oh, it's EastEnders style drama. Okay, so
it's more than just still married.
Well, no, it's still married. Yeah. Still married, so...
But she knew that.
No.
She didn't
She
know
thought
that.
They got divorced.
She was 20. When you're 20 and someone says, oh, yeah, I'm definitely divorced.
So he showed her this certificate.
He's got a certificate, guys. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, like, yeah. I got one for fucking swimming 20 meters. That is the last time I had a certificate. No, I had one for my gas safety check. Certificates mean fucking shit. They don't mean anything.
All right, so...
So I'm really angry at certificates. I'm so sorry.
I'm like,
They're really nice. I didn't get a lot of school. Fine, whatever.
You're right to be angry. The divorce certificate he showed her was a fake. Mm-hmm. Exactly. He was a Catholic. He couldn't get divorced from his first wife. He's got to live by a moral code. First wife is called Gladys, right? Gladys and her
I almost named our daughter that. Okay. And I just made fun of names, but...
All right.
She's called Gladys.
She's called Gladys.
Which is an old Jamaican woman's name.
Is it? Okay.
He has a daughter who was older than him and Jamaican.
You know what? This is what the story needs.
This is the story.
That would make this a better story, yes. But that is not what happens. Gladys has...
Oh, no, she's cartwheeled off. I can't believe it.
So she's with her adult son, Dennis, and they think that Alison...
Dennis!
Come on!
Dennis and Gladys says, oh, come on! Come on!
So this guy's kids are Dennis, Gordon, and Nigel.
Too much.
Yeah, so it's too much.
Okay.
It's too much.
Anyway, they think that Alison is his landlady and that's where he lives when he's not at home with them. Because he's still spending time at home with them. Like, they're like, yeah.
So you're
like,
quite right. Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, this is our normal family. He goes away on work and then he comes home and lives with us. And when he's away, he's with you, the landlady, we presume. But that's another wife.
But everyone has two children with their landlady, right? That's part of the rental agreement.
Yeah. So he's got two houses.
So that's how you live in Dalston.
I'm actually very trendy, yes. And by the way, this glass has been here.
I don't know.
The whole time. What's whose was on? It? No, but that's Katie's. Katie has got three drinks. Should I drink it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Why do you know so much? I think you'll find Katie drank that, and then you came in and it's like, what?
No, she's been watching very carefully.
I'm not playing.
Okay.
Do you want to buy a mobile phone?
This is amazing. We have the best audience.
Yeah.
We got detectives, we got people selling phones.
Oh, mate.
We got it all going on.
Drunk women solving crime.
And now, a very festive shout out to all of our latest patrons. Thanks for supporting us. If you'd like to check us out on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. Deck the halls with Jennifer Tharsilius, fa la 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 la. Tis the season for Ella McDonough, fa la 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 la. Don we now our Mandy Ride, fa la 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 la. And Marta Detective, have you tried switching it on and off again? Thanks, guys.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, Alison is in shock, and she asks Gladys and Dennis to do something at the funeral. Do you want to guess what it is, or shall I move us? Have a guess.
Have a guess. So the current wife asks the ex-wife to do something at the
funeral.
Well,
also ex, but still current wife.
Okay. Is it not fucking cum? Because that's really awkward.
You're close, okay. Actually.
So the ex-wife asks the current wife.
No, so the new wife asks the older wife to do something at the funeral.
Okay. So the new wife asks the ex-wife to change those Jamaican names. To something more fitting.
It's just not right.
Why is it Gladys and Dennis? Like, and there were these other names as well. The other names in there were quite...
We've got a Nigel and a Gordon.
God, a Nigel, Gladys, Dennis. Once upon a time, there was a woman called Gladys. And she have a husband called Dennis. Them have children called... It's a lot.
Did she want them to basically say that her marriage was a sham? She wanted them to confess.
Well, so again, very close. She wants them to pretend to just be other random relatives at the funeral.
Because
she wants to protect her two sons, Nigel and Gordon, from finding out that their dad is a big liar.
That would be the most exciting thing that's happened in Nigel and Gordon's life. Fucking love a dad as a bigamist. Thank you. I'm going to put that on my Tinder.
So.
My dad, guess what he did? We found out at the funeral.
Mate, we'll even get to that.
But oh, shit, okay.
So they agree to do this. So no one finds out about the bigamy and that they have all these brothers and sisters yet. And also, Alison was in such shock that she wrote this massive, like, journal. She just got all her feelings out in this journal, and she didn't let any of her children or grandchildren read it until, like, about a week before she died. We'll get back to that in a minute. But
I love that for her, though, going, have a read of that, babe. You know your dad you love? Have a little read of that. See what you think. How does he come out of it? Yeah.
Now, I just...
No time to chat. Yeah. Gotta die.
Yeah, if you have any questions, make them quick. I'm going to quickly say this. This story might be sounding familiar to people. There is a three-part Netflix series about this called Mrs. Wilson. Yeah, which I watched and then called research. But it's quite fit. So there's this Netflix series called Mrs. Wilson, and it's about this story, but they made it better, basically. The real story
is... It's about the tennis racket.
That is exactly right.
That'd be amazing if that's where this goes. It would be awesome.
No, but so anyway, I did proper research.
I feel like a webbed net-like figure with an oval frame and a handle.
Focus up, Taylor. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. You're doing great.
Okay.
Female workplace.
Yay. I didn't just watch a TV show and then plan my... I mean, I did a little bit. But I went on Wikipedia like the real police. And I had to verify some facts. But one of the things that definitely does seem to be true is that Alison spent quite a lot of her early marriage with the two sons in the 40s in absolute poverty. And this is partly because shortly after they got married, something happened to Alec. And my question is, what happened?
Oh, God, what happens to Alec?
So what, they live in poverty. What might have happened to him?
I mean, it's the 40s. I feel like I have a guess, but I'm not going to say it because I'm so clever.
It was the 40s? Yes.
I mean, it's not clever. It's like, did he have to go to war?
Well, so he's in the intelligence service, so he is...
Oh, he's rich. He doesn't have to go to fucking war, does he? Of course he doesn't.
They're in poverty.
Okay. Oh, I thought he was rich.
Well, Jocelyn... Where am I?
Yeah, he's
rich.
Because he has a young wife.
Oh, you said it. You said it enough that I was like, this fucker's rich.
Yeah, we all believed it.
Yeah, but it's true.
Well, you know what? In theory, I still don't quite know. We're going to get to this.
Is this
because
Bitcoin? Is this one Bitcoin? I didn't follow it that closely.
The dude has multiple wives.
But I feel like at this point I have to say that some people just fall in love, no matter their age.
She said multiple, though, like it's more than one.
It doesn't matter about money or richness. Love is love.
Love is love.
Love is love.
It is. It's beautiful. When a 50-year-old man and a 20-year-old woman... get it on. It is just beautiful and innocent and love.
The person who pays attention in the audience is making fun of me.
Because I don't. She's trying to tell you something, it looks
no,
like.
No, 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 no. It's because you said multiple wives,
yeah,
and
Taylor
I went...
was surprised at multiple wives.
No, no,
I don't
no, because multiple, just one is one thing, but, like, are there others?
Okay, we're going to get to that.
Oh!
So you spoiled the story.
Two is multiple... Thank you, knowledgeable
There's
person
just
in the audience.
One extra. I have very low standards.
So, okay.
Okay, okay, okay. Focus.
Multiple wives.
All right, look, I'm just going to tell you. He gets arrested.
Oh.
He gets arrested. I was just thinking he gets arrested.
Okay, well... Well done.
The dead guy?
No, what? Yeah, oh yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah, the dead... But he's alive when he gets arrested. It's the
So he doesn't go to war?
He gets... No, well, look, he's in the intelligence stuff, so he's not, like, on the battlefield.
Okay.
He's, like, so they met in the, like, he's doing, like, translation, he's in, like, office spy stuff. Office he has, spy. But he's done field work in
I
the
get
past.
You. I
what
get
What a
you.
Great film but. That would be, Office Spy.
Who stole your tuna sandwich?
We solved that. Let's not dredge that up. Right. He's prosecuted for allegedly posing as an army colonel and wearing false decorations, and he is declared bankrupt.
I was hoping it was for Playgirl.
And he tells Alison that it's all part of an undercover plan to infiltrate fascists. Now, I can tell you, though, although he was dismissed from service, he was not officially discharged. So my question now is, do you really think and believe that he's a spy at this point? or do you think he's a liar?
Wait, is he not? He could not even be a spy.
Well, he's a colonel.
His crime, like the man from is KFC. That he's been he's accused of pretending to be a colonel and wearing false.
But
army.
He says it's because he's a spy, which is the perfect crime.
His story is that they have to make him look like he's disgraced, so that the people that he's trying to infiltrate will believe that he's been disgraced, and then they'll tell him all their secrets,
like Jake Peralta in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, I think we're all thinking it. Yes, I'm Jake Peralta, and I've just been fired from the.
Yeah.
New York Times or something. I don't watch it that closely.
Right. So do you think he's telling the truth?
He is not a spy.
Okay.
Who could be a spy?
I love how you're hedging your bets.
I hate... X factor, isn't it? Going home to get ready for boot camp where you might have to be sent home. I don't know.
All right, okay, so you think liar, but maybe, like, you think more liar than not liar, there's a chance.
I think if he's a liar, he's just had a really hard childhood.
I love it. Do you know what? You realise how little empathy we have with people on this podcast, because you're like, maybe it's love, guys. And we're like, fuck it.
That is so not love. But I think...
Okay. I can't live with
he's
the...
He's not a spy.
Okay, we got not. Not a spy from Jocelyn. She's come down. What do you guys... Spy, not a spy.
I just can't live with the idea of a spy who is dishonest. That just... That just blows my whole worldview apart.
So spy from Taylor, Hannah George?
I feel like she might have seen him, because you said he was wearing the decorations that weren't his. He was wearing the whole outfit. And sometimes if I'm like trying out a jumpsuit or something, and if my boyfriend walks in and he's like, it doesn't really suit me or whatever, and we lock eyes, and I just want to go, I'm a spy! I didn't think it was cool. I didn't think it would suit me. I didn't think it would be really good. So I think that he was like, actually, this outfit doesn't suit me. I'm going to say I'm a spy to get out of an awkward situation, which is how I would do it. I think.
Jump cut to Hannah's wedding day.
I'm a spy, okay? There's a beautiful bride.
Okay, no. And you know what? Like, I honestly, I'm not sure either, because it seems a bit much that your kids have to live in poverty to keep your story going. Yeah, they need malnutrition, otherwise it'll blow my cover. Like, what is that? So they're in arrears with rent in the tiny bedsit they're living in. He's running around being an absent dad. He writes books. He actually does write books.
He writes books.
Yeah, he writes books about spying.
No, it's about how to bring up children.
And they do get published, but it obviously doesn't seem to bring in much income. Now, he works in cinema management until 1948.
I'm sorry.
And then he gets sacked.
We can't just go into cinema management. I do the tickets, I do the popcorn, I just do a little bit of everything.
But it's the ultimate disguise.
But this is it. This is the thing, right?
It's like, messages in every kernel.
I have to work in a cinema.
Was there a lot of like spy movies at that time, though?
Well, right? No, so it's like... From the end of the war to after the war, he's in the cinema. He gets set in...
I love it. I did 4 years in the cinema. Oh,
yeah. Anyway, he gets sacked for stealing and embezzling funds from the cinema. From Hampstead Cinema.
Oh, fuck those guys.
Yeah, they're really expensive.
Yeah, they've got in their houses are like cinemas in Hampstead.
So now we're like Team fuck Alec them. Again.
Yeah, Team Alec.
Okay, so... he tells Alison that the reason he's been put in prison... So he actually gets sent to prison this time.
Oh, wow.
He's already bankrupt the last arrest. And he says that he's... it's so that he can go into prison and monitor fascist groups in Brixton Prison. Right, but because the thing
Brixton,
is...
Brixton, that's the Jamaican connection. Just trying to work out that connection. Okay. I'm good now.
Because the thing is, it's 1948 now, right? The war finished in 1946.
So what fascist? What fascist is he infiltrating? You know?
I mean, there's always fascists, but also it is so funny that he's like been sent to prison. He's like, oh, that? No! Oh my god, do you think that? No! That's the I'm infiltrating fascists, maybe? I guess yeah. Fascists?
It's really hard to know. Anyway, I'll tell you one other strange thing from the 40s. Their flat got burgled, but the police were never involved, and Alison reported in her memoirs that the police had not investigated the burglary, but that Alec wasn't in trouble with the police either, and it seems to be disputed by other people that have written about this case if the burglary was another agent or someone trying to discredit him, or if it was him, and someone has suggested that Alec faked the burglary to hide from Alison, that he'd stolen her jewellery to buy antibiotics to treat her postnatal infections. Oh. It is bleak, you guys. It is bleak. So, like, let's just take a moment to shout out the NHS. It is bleak without an NHS. That's not the point of this case. Now, we've sort of touched on this. There is one more bombshell that Alison doesn't know about. You guys want to guess
what it is? What is that? Oh, I'm excited. What is it?
You guys have already kind of talked about it with...
More wives!
It's more wives! Now. Okay. Yeah.
Wow, where does this guy find the time?
Honestly, this is... And money, this is why he's broke. Yeah.
He needs 3,000.
That's what happened.
Can't wait to hear the kids' names.
He takes his bigamy very
There's
seriously.
There's Bort.
Now, I've got to tell you, in the TV show...
And Beatrice.
They do this amazing scene in the TV show where, like, someone comes up to her at the funeral thinking that she's Alison. They come up to Alison thinking that she's the wife, and they call her a different name.
Oh, no.
They call her Dorothy.
Oh, no, Dorothy.
And then she's like, what? You know I'm his wife, but you think I'm called Dorothy? There must be another wife called Dorothy. And then they end on a cliffhanger for the first episode. But unfortunately, that is not what happened. It's much more cinematic, but it is not what happened. The true story is that Alison never knew about the other two wives.
Two? There's four.
There's two. Yes, four wives, including Alison.
Now we got a bigamist.
Yeah. So Dorothy predates Alison. So he's married to Gladys.
Oh,
goes off to India. He's a spy in India. Dorothy is an actress. They get married, quote unquote, because he hasn't, secretly hasn't got divorced from the first wife. They have a son. They come back to England. They hang out for a bit. They fight about money, and then he leaves her. That son is called Michael, actually. If we're collating names, and then Michael is eventually told that the dad is dead, and then the other wife is post Alison. He marries her in 1955 when he's working in a hospital, and she's a nurse, and they get married, and they have a son. I can't remember what the son is called.
Oh, no!
No, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Oh, really?
No, actually, he doesn't sound like a very...
Well, so, okay.
Nice man.
So to wrap this, so final kind
why
of...
Why the draw to marry, though? Affairs, sure, I get that. Mm. But why to keep? Yeah,
well, because
ownership
There's got to be lots of psychological reasons for this. I think like sort of people had to get married a bit more in the olden days, but also he's Catholic.
So like, four wrongs make a right.
Yeah,
that's what I've learned as a nun tonight.
He's stuck in this system.
Okay.
Where he can't.
Because he just wants a little blowy, but he's like, we're married now! Here's my divorce certificate!
Then we have a hand up, and it's so polite.
Oh, hi.
I feel like we should ask.
Hi.
Okay. So
makes the last child. No, you're quite right to ask.
He marries that wife in 1955. Their kid is born in Douglas. Got the name.
Oh.
Douglas is born in 1957. So he dies in 63, age 69. So he's pretty old, actually, when he fathers Douglas in 1957.
Yeah. Alex is a whore.
Well, I mean...
He is, he is.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just imagine if he's a woman.
Yeah.
He'd never be president.
But do we not actually know if he was a spy?
Okay, so this is the thing. So now...
Okay, here's the twist.
Okay, no, officially, the records have not been released yet. And they
when
don't...
are they released? Can we, like, do a Patreon extra, maybe? Like, when they're released,
I
we can all get together?
It's still a few years off. But...
We really don't know?
We really don't know if he's definitely a spy. There's...
I feel like his spying was in the form of marriage. You know?
Well, okay,
my
so
loyalty is to...
Gladys.
So, arguments that are pro him being a spy. This guy, somebody... His surname is Crook. He did all this stuff about him. And he said that his in the novels that he wrote, the spy novels, reveal details of intelligence work that's so precise that it would have to indicate first-hand experience.
Did he essentially do an Edinburgh show about this? Fucking hell, man. Is his surname Crook, did you say?
Yeah, no, the historian that wrote about him is...
Oh, okay.
I want to say it. Peter Crook, but I think that's wrong.
Peter Crook and Dudley Moore, they were incredible. I loved them. Very funny.
It's probably not that.
Second wife, same as the first. Alec the first.
Alex tombstone reads that he was also known, because he had...
That's escalated these, quickly.
His tombstone reads.
All these. He's got all these aliases that are sort of slightly similar to his real... Like, so he's...
Oh, no.
Tombstone reads... also known as Alexander Douglas Gordon Chesney Wilson.
The A-listers, the enablers.
Yeah. And describes him as an author and a patriot and quotes Shakespeare's Othello, he loved not wisely but too well. Which... And the thing is, that is bad taste because, like, Othello is tricked into killing his wife. I don't think that's a good...
I fucking love our fans that got such a laugh.
I love that we all understood
that?
It.
Ah, that's so amazing.
But also, so the monument is feet away from the grave of fellow MI6 agent Commander Lionel Crabbe. And people have, like... people have read into that. But basically, once Alison died and everyone read her memoirs, all the kids like found out about each other. And then so all the four families kind of met. And at the end of the Netflix TV show, there's like this family reunion with all these like kids. And some of them are like old and it's all like, it's a whole thing.
At least you don't have Thanksgiving.
So my last question is, do you think he was a real spy?
Okay.
I mean, define spy.
I'm going to say he was a whore. No, can I just say I feel bad. Sometimes people just like to get married. They're not necessarily whores.
they just love the party.
Yeah. But I'm going to say he wasn't a spy because if he was... He was very shit at it. Because here we are discussing if he was a spy.
Yeah. This is an excellent
point. It's a very, very good point.
I would drop my mic, but I would not be able to pick it up again.
He couldn't even hide his other three marriages, so
yeah.
If you can't do that.
Yeah. Rule one of spy school, don't end up on a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. It feels like just a great cover, which I'm going to be using, guys. That's free of charge. If anything goes wrong in your life, go, I'm a spy. And people will be like, I don't think you are, but...
I guess, in theory, if you convince your wives that you're a spy, you can be like, she's just the fake one. She's the front.
Yeah.
Right?
And like also, if there's an expectation that some of it's going to be bullshit that you have to just roll with... Like, what a great situation.
Absolutely.
To just be like, oh, yeah, that stuff. Don't worry about that stuff.
I'm just bad in bed because I got to fool the Russians.
They're watching us fuck.
They're always Russians. It's always Russians. Poor Russians.
I know.
All right, let's do an audience vote, right? Cheer if you think he's a spy. All right, cheer if you think he's a liar. Okay.
Is there a difference?
We've got
this is what I come back to.
Not a spy.
Not a spy.
Not a spy. That's
right. Well,
I imagine if they do a court case, this will come up.
Yep.
Yep. Thanks, everyone.
Case closed. Thank you, democracy.
The mocking of it. Oh, hi. So many hands.
I love our heckles. Like, it wasn't even a heckle. You put your fucking hand up.
So, I know.
And that's why I love it. I love, have you thought about background
actually,
checks?
Actually, something...
love that.
Something that I left out earlier, actually. He, his specialty was that he could speak Arabic. He could speak four languages, and one of them was Arabic. And they'd stationed him in Egypt and India, so he was very useful. There's a whole bit about, like, there was maybe a double agent that was, like, setting him up. Anyway, whatever. We don't have...
You know boring people that want to be really interesting?
Yeah.
That's what, like, this guy sounds
me?
Like.
You talking about me?
No way. Never.
It was a joke because I'm so sassy and confident now. So, now that I've made everyone feel sorry for me, seems like a good time to move on to the... Don't, honestly, I feel great.
I love it. You're sassy, you're confident.
Yeah, I'm sassy. People that have to say that out loud are really definitely. I'm like, oh God, it's... You do look like you're sorry. I'm going to sing I Will Survive and then it'll be... Yeah. Thank you. I'm genuinely having a great time. I just have a bitchy resting face. Hey! So, we have to do an audience crime.
We have to.
We fucking have to.
I'm sorry.
We are legally obliged.
we've got a lady here with a hand up.
We've got multiple hands.
Hi.
You could not be in a more less convenient place. But come round this way and everybody, please give her a hand.
Please do.
So my grandmother was amazing. She was born in the West Indies and became one of the first female doctors in the area.
Okay.
However, at her funeral, we discovered that her name is not what we knew her name to be.
Uh-oh. Oh.
She's called Gladys!
Wait, really?
No way! I am genuinely terrified right now.
What happened?
Okay, so
it's Halloween.
So basically, for about 50 years, she was a working GP. She taught my entire family at medical school and was a very eminent GP under the name of Eileen.
Come on. No, I've cheapened this. I'm sorry.
Also, that's my grandma. That's gross.
Well, I don't know what she looked like. I mean...
Definitely gross. However, when we had to sign her death certificate, they wouldn't accept it. And they kept going through the paperwork. And they were like, no, we have to return this. It's kind of like when you do your passport application and you keep getting something slightly wrong.
I was too beautiful. My picture... Okay, no, it's fine.
No comment. And
first Ed Gamble saying I didn't look like I did a lot of cocaine. And now this...
And so, basically, they wouldn't accept it because we hadn't met her birth certificate name. And it turned out that she'd been kind of illegally working as a doctor under a fake name.
Oh, my.
Wow.
And her name was actually Gladys.
That's hot!
Get away from me! Take it and get away. Take your champagne. Oh my lord.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
All right. We have just enough time to ask
no
Jocelyn,
further questions.
What are you
your
up
Honor.
To? Where can we find you?
Listen, after this, I'm going straight to church because this. I need some holy water. Listen, I'm not playing with that shit. you can find me. You can find me on all streets in Hackney. Death in Paradise Christmas special.
Very nice.
And also the Sky drama called Dodger.
Oh yeah.
Sky coming out over Christmas.
Awesome.
And then not going out as well. Yes, awesome. I'm still employed, I know. They have no idea.
I'm having such a great time. I actually don't want the show to end, but this is the point of the show. We have to say goodbye.
We do.
Thank you, ladies, because you are brilliant. Thank you for having me. Thank you for making me feel comfortable, and you're all wonderful. And I hope this goes from strength to strength. And
thank you. Oh,
well, on that note.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Thank you so much, Jocelyn.
Thank you, guys.
And the audience. This audience is. This audience is awesome.
The bar is still open.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.